back with you on the leader, KNBR 68. Gary Crowley joining us now. He covers the San Francisco Giants for the Bay Area News Group. You can hear him on KNBR every 45 minutes as per his contractual obligations. And he joins us now from Arizona, his favorite place on the planet, where the Gigantes are playing some baseball in spring training. Gary, how you feeling, baby?
Dieter, I said that when I came down to spring training after 2020 and all that happened, I would never complain about spring training baseball. I would never complain about rain delays in Pittsburgh. And today really pushed me to my limit. The Giants and Brewers played a 9-inning game that lasted nearly 4 hours.
Oh,
Craig Counsell called it an all-around bad game. Gabe Kapler really said it was quite possibly the worst performance the Giants have had this spring, just not crisp in any element of their game. And so the Giants and Brewers really put that theory to a test. But hey, I'm happy to be here, happy to talk Giants baseball, and happy to still be employed.
How many weeks is this now? You've been down there for how many days before you almost cracked?
Well, considering I reported 11 days before we were actually allowed inside the stadium, I think I've been here almost a month now. I had to get down to Arizona.
I know.
And I do not regret the decision whatsoever. I am still looking at the calendar, and I'm wondering if the halfway point has come or gone. And at this point, I really don't know what day of the week it is, what day of the month it is. Looked up the other day and saw it was like March 7th. Shocked me. Still thought it was February.
Oh, no. I mean,
here we are.
I legitimately thought it was January the other day, and it was pretty jarring when I found out it was like March 7th. So yeah, it's all coming pretty fast, but you know, some good news along those lines as well. Every day, a little bit more progress in the world. And every day we seem to get an Elliot Ramos home run. And Kerry, I need you to talk me. Mm-hmm. It's not a ledge because I want to be here. You need to talk me down because I am just brimming with excitement. I got excitement coming out of the ears. I had to put on a stocking cap today just to keep the excitement inside my head.
What a sight. What an image. Thanks for sharing that with the listeners, Dieter. Elliot Ramos has just really, really impressed so far. I called him in my postgame story today the Giants' most impressive position player during camp and during Cactus League games, and for good reason. The guy hits absolute tanks.
Oh, my goodness.
It's not just, you know, this 21-year-old coming into his body and finding power. This is grown man strength. This is what you see out of, like, the designated hitters in the American League, the Chris Davis type home runs that are just no doubters leaving the stadium. Doesn't matter if it's out to right field, doesn't matter if it's out to left field. Elliot Ramos can hit them out of all ballparks. He has just done nothing but surprise me and be someone who I think has emerged on the radar. And it's not the opening day radar,
okay. But
it is now maybe the all-star break, maybe the first half of the season if the Giants need some power in their lineup, because this is someone who is clearly not that far away.
What the hell is this guy going to do in Sacramento, Kerry? I fear for Raley Field or whatever they're calling it now.
Yeah. Sutter Health Park, 25 home runs in AAA is my prediction for the first half of the season. And then you'll see Elliot Ramos. It'll be the slow creep with the average. Mm-hmm. I think that it'll be, you know, probably at the beginning of the season, 250, 260. Then he'll start going on a hot streak. And that's when the Giants will be like, it is time. Get the kid to the show. Elliot Ramos, 2017 first round draft pick, wanted to be here by 2020. Obviously, that did not happen due to the COVID-19 cancellation of the minor league season. But he's not that far off, and spring training is proving that. The guy can elevate, and he can celebrate, and that's what matters in baseball in 2021.
Oh, my God, I love that. I'm stealing that. Who'd you steal that from? That's great.
Softball. Fast-pitch softball. Elevate and celebrate, baby.
Fantastic. Just absolutely fantastic. A cornucopia of knowledge and puns from Kerry Crowley. What's the issue with Ramos? Is it just one of these things where there's this sort of concept that he needs to be seasoned this much before he's ready to go? Or is there some stuff that he's still working on?
Well, I just think back to last spring when it was so clear that Joey Bart was close and that Joey Bart had major league potential, and it wasn't that far off before Joey Bart would be contributing in the big leagues and be a big part of the Giants lineup. But the Giants insisted there was still development there. They said that he still needs to learn to hit a major league breaking ball, that he needs to cut down on the swings and misses. And the same is true of Elliot Ramos right now. Joey Bart had an ugly 33-game stint last year, Dieter. It was 104 at-bats, struck out 41 times. And really, he's done a lot to fix his swing this offseason. He's looked really good during spring training. But Elliot Ramos, I think, is similar on that trajectory. I know that fans see the home runs. They want to see him on opening day. But right now, there's also a lot of swing and miss and whiff in that bat. And I think that if he goes down to Sacramento, he cuts down on that, gains a little better hold of the strike zone, it will not be that much farther apart, or farther off, I should say, before Elliot Ramos is making an impact at Oracle Park.
Let's talk about some guys who don't get me as excited, but are clearly important prospects for the Giants.
Why not?
Yeah, I mean, listen, let's just take it down a notch. We're going to start heavy, and we're going to slow it down here a little bit here on KMBR 68. Will Wilson had a really nice play today. This is a guy who projects as kind of a utility guy, maybe even a starting second baseman down the line. I would like to note to everybody that he had two errors in one inning over the weekend, so one nice play has not fully negated that situation. But what are we seeing out of Will Wilson both in the field and at the plate so far? Because this is a guy, let's not forget, the Giants paid pretty handsomely for, essentially, by in the Zach Cozart trade.
You know, I don't think that a Dustin Pedroia comparison is fair to Will Wilson, because I don't think that he has that type of a ceiling.
Okay.
But there are Dustin Pedroia-like qualities in Will Wilson's bat. The guy pulls the ball really well. When he gets a fastball, he can yank it. The exit velocities off of his bat are impressive. And he's fast. He's athletic on the diamond. Plays up the middle well at second base. I really do believe that, Dieter, his best position is second base. The two-error game you're referencing was at third base. I'm not so sure that he has the arm or the range there, but at second base he fits in quite nicely in the infield. And I do think that, you know, Will Wilson is someone where the average is going to continue to tick up over the course of the minor league season. You're going to see less swing and miss from him as well, a more discerning eye at the plate from him as well. And I think back to when Joe Panik was a rookie in 2014. He was making all sorts of contact, was hitting 300, was more athletic because he was a college shortstop, and then injuries kind of got in the way of Joe Panik's career, and he's never been the same since that rookie season. But I do think that Will Wilson at his peak can be that 2014 version that Joe Panik was, where he's a high contact guy. He can drive the ball into the gaps. He can, you know, bridge excitement from the top of the lineup to the middle of the order. And I really do think that there's a reason that the Giants scouts identified Wilson for what this Giants team is going to be about in the future.
Listen, Kerry, you and I both like that. Is there a place for that kind of player in baseball still, though? Is that a guy of a bygone era?
I think that on the right team, there's a place for that. I think that that's why the Giants were so aggressive in targeting Tommy La Stella this offseason. Mm-hmm. Because you look at Tommy La Stella and the baseball reference page or the back of his baseball card, not all that impressive. Tommy La Stella does nice things. He hits 270. The OBP is 330. But you actually watch him play, and he grinds down pitchers. He grinds down at bats. Starting pitchers, when they open the game against Tommy La Stella, are more often than not going to see 7 or 8 pitches against him than 2 to 3. Because that's how he works in at bat. And that may not benefit Tommy La Stella in the long run, but you bet it's going to benefit Alex Dickerson and Brandon Belt and Evan Longoria further down in the order. And we've already seen evidence of that during spring training. I think that Will Wilson can be that guy. I don't know that he'll have the same plate discipline or same bat control that Tommy La Stella will have, but I do think that there are similar qualities in there where he can help a lineup be better than, you know, the sum of its parts, that sort of a thing.
Talking to Kerry Crowley of the Bay Area News Group and KMBR, he knows Tommy La Stella's OBP off the top of his head. And I want to ask you about Stephen Duggar, who isn't hitting, but when he does hit, it seems to go out of the park. We know the glove is there. This is a guy who's right on the fringe. And I was talking to Dalton Johnson about this yesterday on the show. Like, we were all excited about Stephen Duggar. We knew he wasn't some super prospect. Well, when Stephen Duggar came up, it felt like, at least for the Giants at that juncture in time, that was a big deal. Hey, this guy's coming up. This guy's going to be a good major league player, this and that. And now he's a guy who's on the fringe, which shows how far the rebuild has come. But where is Stephen Duggar at this point? Does he have a role on this team in your vision?
Opening day, no. I mean, candidly speaking, I don't think that Stephen Duggar fits into the Giants' plans, and I think that he's going to have to go down to Sacramento and reprove that he can hit AAA pitching and reprove that he can be an asset against right-handed pitchers, because the Giants just don't have a spot for him in their outfield right now. You know, they've got Mauricio Dubon in center field. They like Lamont Wade better. Consider Lamont Wade's skill set. All three outfield positions, much like Stephen Duggar, left-handed hitter. The Giants' front office of Farhan Zaidi and Scott Harris acquired Wade, whereas Duggar was drafted by the Sabian and Evans era front office. And so that automatically is going to put Wade ahead of Duggar on the depth chart. He's a better plate discipline guy. He draws more walks. And so if he's able to play center field, he will skyrocket past Duggar on the depth chart. Whereas Duggar, like you mentioned, You know, the home runs this spring have been impressive, but the Giants want to see more. They want to see more walks. They want to see more small ball. They want to see him shoot the ball to the gap instead of striking out 30% of the time at the plate, because when he gets on, he can be a stolen base threat. When he's not on base, and that's not often because it was like a 290 on base percentage when he was getting regular playing time for the Giants, that's an issue. And so I think there's still a lot more for Steven Duggar to prove to hang on to that 40-man roster spot. And I do think that unless he continues to play this way this spring, it will be in jeopardy come the end of spring training, and they have to add those non-roster guys.
Just read your article. Marco Luciano talked to reporters today, and reading your thing, you made a very immediate comparison, and whether it was obvious or not, whether it was intentional or not, Fernando Tatis Jr. gets brought up a lot, right in juxtaposition with Marco Luciano. We know that he's this great prospect. No one's going to argue that he doesn't have the goods. 19 years old, and he's a couple of years away, right? But Tatis is that's a high bar, Kerry. What made you go about that?
The ceiling is there, and I don't know that Marco Luciano will reach that ceiling. I think that, like you said, Dieter, it is a really high bar to clear, and to expect someone like Luciano to, at 20, 21, 22 years old, a few years from now, come into the major leagues and just immediately provide that jolt of energy, that is a lofty expectation. But when you look at the body, you look at the way he fields his position, and you see the authority with which he can hit the baseball, you realize he has that type of a ceiling. There are few players where the ball comes off the bat like it does with Marco Luciano. I go back to that instructional league highlight that he produced back in November when he hit a ball from a Rockies left-hander 119 miles per hour off the bat. You know how many major league players have done that in the last 5 years? Like four.
Yeah.
Marco Luciano has a ceiling that no other player in this farm system has. And so getting there, going to be really difficult. That's on the Giants talent evaluators. That's on the Giants coaching staff. That's on Marco Luciano to find a way to maximize all that potential. But he has the rare combination of skills, baseball IQ, and just pure athleticism that make you think that, hey, maybe down the line, he could be that Tatis type of influence in this Giants organization.
Talk me through that line. Talk me through what he needs to do to get to the major leagues and when that moment might come in a conservative estimate.
Well, right now, he needs to cut down on the swing and miss, and that is basically all we have seen during spring training, Dieter. The Cactus League stat line for Marco Luciano is ugly. You have to consider that he is 19 years old and in this Cactus League right now, facing big league pitchers. He's starting games on occasion because the Giants are rolling out Brandon Crawford slowly, and they don't have a really bona fide major league caliber backup shortstop behind him, so they're getting a good look at Luciano, but he always seems to find himself in 0-1, 0-2, 1-2 counts, and it's digging out of those. It's making solid contact early in the count against the fastball, and then it's adjusting against the breaking ball. I still think that he told us, and you'll read it in that story I wrote for the Bay Area News Group,
yes,
he told us he wants to be in the major leagues a year from now. I think that's a really optimistic timeline for opening day 2021, or 2022, I should say.
Okay.
I think it's more realistic middle of next summer, and I think that Marco Luciano can get there with a lot of work at the plate, because he can hit the ball a mile, and he can hit the ball 115 miles an hour. It's just a matter of doing that consistently for him.
The Giants have some big names that haven't even done anything in spring training yet. Are we at points of concern now? We got 3 weeks until opening day in Seattle.
Yes, with Brandon Belt, I would say that opening day is very much in jeopardy. Not only has he had this non-COVID related illness that's really knocked him out, he's also recovering from offseason heel surgery, so he's got a lot to prove. With Kevin Gausman, the Giants' potential ace who hasn't seen the field yet, I don't think there's concern. I do think that, with someone like Aaron Sanchez, who's coming off shoulder surgery, with someone like Reyes Maranta, who clearly is not in the kind of shape that the Giants wanted to be in, there's concerns there. But with Belt, I just don't know. And with Austin Slater, who's now dealing with a mild hamstring injury that's left him out for 6 to 7 days, I want to say, and he won't be back on the field for at least another 4 to 5. I do think that opening day is probably somewhat in jeopardy, and the Giants are starting to think that far ahead because it's only 3 weeks away, Dieter.
Yeah. I will have to push back a little bit on some of that statement. Has Reyes Maranta ever been in the kind of shape that the Giants want him to be in? I mean, isn't that the whole experience of Reyes Maranta?
It is the whole experience, but I don't think the shape mattered as much in 2018 when Bruce Bochy was the manager. Reyes Maranta had the sub-2.5 ERA. He was striking out hitters right and left. He was throwing 98 with the fastball. It did not matter nearly as much because he got the job done. Right now, during spring training, he's not getting the job done in bullpen sessions. He's not throwing enough strikes. And so when he's not throwing enough strikes and he's not in the kind of shape that they wanted him to be in post-surgery, it becomes far more of an issue.
that ERA has got to be below the amount of weight. That's it. And right now it's all out of whack.
No question.
It by 100 and there's your ratio. I want to ask you about Hunter Bishop. I saw he laced a single today. I've seen a couple of nice hits from him, but this is a guy who is realistically lumped in with sort of that elite class of prospects that the Giants have, but doesn't seem to get as much shine as Elliot Ramos, and for good reason. He's not doing what Elliot Ramos is doing right now. Where is he in his development? Because he is a college player. In theory, this is a guy who should have a bit of an advantage over a 21-year-old over a 19-year-old. I guess he has the advantage over the 19-year-old. But where is Hunter Bishop right now? What's a realistic time frame for him?
I think you're probably looking at a guy who's starting the season in the high A Eugene outfield, and then probably, if everything goes well during the first half of the season, working his way up to double A, and then potentially, you know, putting himself on the track to be in the big leagues by the middle of next season. I think that Hunter Bishop did a lot of nice work last offseason and during the instructional league with the Giants. He was another guy who can hit the ball 119 miles an hour. That's a rare trait. Very few of the top prospects in the game, very few of the best hitters in the game can do that, but Hunter Bishop can. And man, Dieter, I have never seen someone swing the bat as hard as Hunter Bishop swings the bat. So if he's able to loft the ball in the air, it's not 30 home run potential, it's 40 home run potential. Wow. It's just a matter of making that consistent contact, because man, this guy whacks the ball when he makes contact.
It is his age 23 season, and you're saying middle of 2022. I mean, we're getting up there. If he's slowed down at all, if he has an injury of any sort, we're getting to the point where this guy's looking at his 7 years of service time, putting him in free agency at age 32. There's nothing wrong with a late bloomer, don't get me wrong, but it's not like we're dealing with this Luciano, we're not dealing with the Elliot Ramos, where you have these young studs who are going to come up and give you their 20s on the cheap. Is there any concern about that, or has this always been the time frame for him, and then we have to take into account the COVID stuff?
Well, I think that this has always been the time frame for him because he is a college player, and so he was not playing pro ball for, you know, 3 years where he could have been. And I think that, you know, 2.5 seasons in the minors is really as fast as it gets. I mean, Joey Bart was 1.5 in the minors, and he was in the big leagues, and that was considered a really accelerated timeline. And so I think with someone like Bishop, you draft him out of college because there's more certainty with him than there is, say, an Elliot Ramos, who has that upside coming out of high school, but you don't know how a 17-year-old at the time is going to project. And the Giants evaluators clearly did a very nice job in projecting that Elliot Ramos could hit baseballs a mile. There was a lot more certainty in knowing that Hunter Bishop could hit baseballs a mile.
Right.
Now it's, you know, getting that average up, getting that on base percentage up, hitting the curveball, proving that he can do all the things you need to do to take that power from single A to the majors.
It just sounds like my perception is warped. It seems like everybody else is kind of on top of this, but I clearly wasn't. I appreciate the insight on that. I want to get your perspective just as somebody who loves baseball. You're in Arizona. There are fans in the stands. I can't imagine that it feels tremendously different than prior spring trainings, right? I mean, it's not like spring training houses are typically packed to the gill. You got folks on the lawn, you got a spattering of olds in the crowd. Is it typical spring training? Do you feel like some normalcy is back in your life?
Oh, absolutely, Dieter. I mean, you look at the spring training stands at most of these stadiums in the eighth and ninth innings of ball games, and usually they're thinned out. You know, there's fewer than 1,000 people. Really, only the diehards are still checking out these games, and that's exactly what these games feel like right now in 2021, except it's just that way from the start. There's no long lines to go get hot dogs, no long lines to go get beers, no long lines for the restrooms, and actually, the spaced out ballpark setting is quite nice. It allows for, you know, everyone to kind of move freely around the park. You can hear some of the funnier commentary with fans. The flip side of that is the people who think they're funny and they aren't. You can also hear that all the time. So it's been really nice to reacclimate to having fans in the stadium. I've really enjoyed it. I know the players have talked about how much they've liked it and they fed off the energy. So yes, transitioning back to normal here has been a really good thing, at least in my point of view.
Kerry Crowley, Bay Area News Group, KNBR, and you know, a guy who actually is funny when he comes on, unlike me. You're stuck with me for the next couple of hours, but Kerry Crowley.
I don't know that I go that far, Dieter, but
listen,
I appreciate that.
The damn compliment. Kerry Crowley, always with the insight from the desert. Have a good one, my friend.
All right, you too, sir.
Great stuff from the ever-polished Kerry Crowley. All right, folks, this is the time. This is the moment. Get your phones ready. Put your ear close to your radio. It's time to give away a $25 Amex gift card. So Manny Haley Productions is presenting Dutch. It's an urban lit cult classic from Terry Woods that breaks all those rules. You know the rules. They've been broken. And it stars Lance Gross, Jeremy Meeks, Macy Gray, like the Macy Gray, Gunna, Natasha Mark, and Tyrone Turner. So Dutch is going to be in theaters on Friday. And to celebrate that, we're going to take caller number 12 at 415. I'm sorry. Let's go with caller number 10. Caller number 12. I don't know why I did that. Let's go caller number 10. Sorry, caller number 12. It's going to be caller number 10 at 415-478-KNBR. That's a different number, right? You know 808-KNBR. We're not doing that one. We're going 415-478-KNBR. Caller number 10. 10 is going to get a $25 Amex gift card to celebrate the release of Dutch in theaters. And if you miss out on this one, we'll do it again a little bit later on in the show. But $25 Amex, caller number 10. I think we already got him, but, you know, keep trying. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm reading this wrong in the other room. 415-478-KNBR, caller number 10 here on The Sports Leader.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.